Can anybody that has a computer with them, it's not calling in, this is just the agenda, is it visible?
I don't see it. This is Sandy.
Not to me yet.
No.
Okay. Well, that didn't work out. Well, it's a pretty standard agenda, so I'll just get into the meeting then. Oh, there's Sandy. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Pat.
So actually, why don't we, the first thing, just what is it, since some people are calling in, some people are, you know, logging in and visible to us, why don't we just run through, starting off with members of the Farm Advisory Committee and mention your name, and then we'll move on to other folks. Rob?
Rob Freed.
Sandy?
Sandy Brown.
Is Kirk there?
Kirk Gresham, Farm Advisory Board.
Okay. Kathleen?
Not here.
Bill?
Not here.
Okay, when we go on to other members, Friends of the Farm Foundation, Blair, I see you. Blair?
did he unmute?
His face is there.
Also Nancy Funk.
Nancy, okay. Other Master Gardeners there?
That was two more Friends of the Fairs or Friends of the Farm are still here. Kirk Gresham.
Sandy Brown.
Yes, I should acknowledge that you're members of both. And anybody else? Food Bank, I think there are a couple of people that we're going to try and come in from Food Bank.
Hello, this is Henry Rogatz. I'm a farming and gleaning associate at the Food Bank.
Okay. Anyone else from the Food Bank?
I believe it is just me this evening.
Okay, sounds good. And besides Tracy and Curtis and Sharon, do we have any other farm neighbors there?
Well, I hadn't said anything yet. This is Joe.
Joe, I thought you're on vacation this week.
Well, I'm on vacation. Greetings from Idaho, by the way.
How many inches of snow you got?
None. Well, none. There's still some on the side of the road, but it's 40 degrees out here.
Okay. Well, good. Glad you're here. And Heather, I saw you there. Heather Tischbein and Sue Marshall.
Yes, this is Heather Tischbein. I'm with both the Food System Council and Friends of Clark County.
And are there other people that I have missed?
I'm Jody. I can go next. Oh. I'm Jody Nicol. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
okay?
Jody.
Hi, I'm the community garden coordinator at the farm, and then I also work for the SNAP at the WSU extension office. Thanks.
Am I muted? Am I talking now? Yeah, I must be talking now. Okay, is that everyone? Okay, it doesn't sound as...
I didn't hear anything from Jackie Kemp. Did I miss that?
Hey, everybody. I'm here.
Oh, Jackie. Yeah. You're quiet. Quiet. Very good.
I'm just lurking in the background here.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Keeping a low profile.
That's right.
All right. So the first order of business would then be to approve the minutes from the September 24th, 2020 meeting.
Minutes.
Okay.
But I approve them. Anybody second the motion?
I guess I better second it then, Rob.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Those are passed. Thank you. We had hoped to have more direction right now on the business and marketing plan, but let me tell you where we are anyway. Not much has really happened since our last meeting. We're still waiting to get some guidance from council on some of those points we reviewed last time. We did have a follow-up meeting with Washington State University, and they will be submitting a proposal to us suggest how they may be able to help with development of the business and marketing plan. You know, one of the sources of direction, one of the points of direction we're seeking from council is, are we going to be able to go out and hire a consultant of any sort to help us out? And I think that in lieu of a private consultant, I think we decided to take a look at what Washington State University could provide. And they have submitted some information, and we are in the process of kind of summarizing that and sending up to council to see if council has any feedback on kind of the proposal and the other directions we're still looking for. And that is really about all we've accomplished in terms of the business and marketing plan. Perhaps with the budget behind us now and some other things, we'll get some communication from the council in the near future. We certainly hope so. That's about all I can say about the business and marketing plan. Anybody has some questions on that?
Yeah. Pat, this is Kirk. Do you have any idea, or any further idea yet, what more precisely what the counselor's role will be directly with that business and marketing plan?
No, we have suggested that it would be nice to have, you know, kind of a representative of our council, of the council, as an active member of, you know, any group moving forward with the development of that plan. And we want to try and get feedback from them. You know, are there where is there room for development of proposals, and where is kind of, you know, what are the broad parameters that would focus the business and marketing plan? And then a lot of it deals with, you know, how do we go about bringing the expertise on board to try and help us out with that? And then one of the things that will probably be implicit in the overall plan would be taking a looking at, the institutional organization or system that would then go forward and try and implement the plan. So those are all things that we're hoping to get some direction on soon. So we can at least get moving on this.
Thank you.
Pat, this is Sandy. I do have a question as well. Originally, the council had asked for that core group to come on that was developed early on to help with that business and marketing plan. Will that group be involved with whoever's leading the charge on that project?
Certainly they'll be involved. Again, one of the things that we are seeking direction on is, you know, are there other stakeholders that we need to kind of fold in and to do some work on this? And again, we haven't received any feedback on that, but certainly we would expect to continue to work with all the folks we've been working with through the process.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Pat, this is Rob.
Yeah, Rob.
You know, I think I'm not going to speak for everybody on the advisory board, but I'm really getting frustrated by, I feel like we're spinning our wheels. And the council had all these comments a couple of years ago, and nothing's ever really developed. And I'm not sure why, or maybe they need to be encouraged to just sort of let go and let us try to move this along. We're just not really getting anywhere right now.
Yeah, the last direction, well, we are trying to push forward based on some of the discussions over the last few months. We have we have been directed to work things through the county manager to communicate with the board on whatever is going on. So we've been doing that. We've put together proposed timelines and other things, but to my knowledge, the council has not deliberated on any of those suggestions as of yet. But we are going to keep pushing to try and get some feedback, and I think we will.
Okay.
I know it's frustrating. It's frustrating for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of in a state of limbo to some extent. All right. Any other questions on that aspect? Okay. Hearing none, I will go to the Farm Advisory Committee. Sandy, you want to tell us sort of the things that the advisory committee has been discussing, and if you've received any new proposals or are working to develop proposals further for use of the right. farm?
We've not received any new proposals at all. We're trying to get out and remind everybody that if there's going to be events or activities on the farm, that they need to turn in an event request. There was a problem with one group apparently turning one in, but I didn't get it, and there was some miscommunication going on, and so we're trying to straighten that all out, but to remind people that they need to fill out an event request so that we can make sure they're following COVID practices at this point as well, but also making sure that there's not an overlap of activity or that other groups are aware that there's an event going on. So we're trying to tighten that up even more. We've had some requests for storage, more storage by a couple of other groups, or a shuffle in storage areas. So the committee has come out and toured the farm, and Joe's helped us show all of the different various storage areas. And so we're trying to come up with a proposal that'll help alleviate some of the duplication in storage, but also maybe try to address some of the storage concerns or needs of other groups. So we're just getting ready to that proposal or suggestion forth, and see what we can do about that. We have put a proposal forth to increase the community garden fees. And I think, Pat, you've put together a memo to the counselors to have that addressed. So we're just waiting to hear back. And I don't know, Pat, if you want to address that at all.
Well, the advisory committee proposal was to bump up the community garden fees from $60 to $75 per plot. Money still to be directed to WSU to assist with management of the community gardens. And I think we were asking council if they had any objection, you know, to that proposal. I don't think we are looking for formal council approval at this time, since it's sort of an ongoing program that is under the umbrella of WSU. And so it's really just a question of whether or not there is any concerns at the council level about it. And we have requested to get feedback in a, you know, the next couple of weeks, because we know that that Jody wants to get out her renewal of contracts, solicitation for new contracts early in December. So that's the status.
Okay, thanks. I don't know if on the agenda there's any conversation about the solar panel project that's being discussed around, but we did have a presentation by the group that's proposing that. And we suggested that they consider doing a presentation to the Historic Commission, thanks to Rob's input, to make sure it fit within the guidelines of that. And so they have done that, and I didn't go to that meeting, but apparently they did do a presentation to that group. So, and I think they're moving along with a variety of things with the, haven't been involved with that, but they did come and do a presentation to us and what that would include and where it would be located and so on the farm. And then Kirk, do you want to talk about the equipment survey and usage project that we're working on? Cause you're kind of taking the lead on that.
Yes. Thanks, Andy. We're working closely with Joe on this. What we are trying to do is to get a listing of all the equipment that is used on the farm by user, and an estimate of how many hours a year they may use it, and any other products or items on the farm they may use, with the goal of trying to price this equipment out so that it eventually down the road in a year or so, when we get this project complete, we should be able to go to the master gardeners or the master composters and say that, you know, you have indicated you want 5 hours of Joe's time to cultivate X, Y, and Z location, and this is what it will cost you to do that and price all this out. It's just it's a tedious effort, but thanks to Joe and his preliminary work behind the scenes, we're getting that all detailed out, and hopefully within another 3 or 4 months, we'll be able to make it available to all the users of the farm so they can have input and feedback on it.
And I think part of the project is programs or projects that have agreements on the farm, part of their agreement is they might get a base set of services, and then anything over and above that would be what they'd be charged. So not to misunderstand that every time you're going to use a piece of equipment or whatever, you'd be charged for, but there'd be a base set before there'd be some charging. So we're still working out some of those details and trying to organize the use of the equipment and that sort of thing. So it's been a really big project for sure.
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
This is Nancy. Along with that, I know you've probably been working on it with Joe too, is there going to be a plan for timing and arrangements for doing these different things, such as the plowing or whatever, which is when it comes to planting season, obviously it's very critical timing.
I think, yes, we've been working with Joe on, are there 3 projects that need to have plowing done or whatever, so that he can best utilize his time as well. And then also a process for requesting those services you need, or requesting if, again, there's an equipment training. So there's certain pieces of equipment that people from your project might be able to use. And so if you have a member that's trained to use that piece of equipment, is there a checkout system that says, I need to use it on Tuesday at noon, so there aren't 3 of you showing up to use the same piece of equipment at noon. So again, it's kind of a big job, but it's an organizational thing that I think will make easier for everyone on the farm as for Joe to try to do everything at the season that it's needed. So I think that's the long answer. The short answer, Nancy, is yes.
Thank you.
The one other thing just slipped my mind, so I don't know what it is. So I'll just stop there. If I think of it, I'll ask for another minute. Kirk, do you think of anything else?
I can't think of what. I can't think of it either. You talked about storage, that included sheds, I believe. So I think you got it all covered, but I can't remember either. So maybe it'll come to me.
Jackie, if you're there, do you want to reflect at all on the Historic Preservation Commission about the solar panels?
Sure. So they had the presentation at their November 4th meeting. So it was, Kevin gave us a good overview of what the, you know, very right early on proposal is. We have two new members and a couple members that haven't really had use of the farm. So there was a lot of questions about just the historic significance of the site. So that was, I guess, initially a lot of their questions. Other than that, we had, I think, questions about the possibility of, you know, I think it's been talked about before, if there potentially could be graves outside of the cemetery that we know are the boundaries, where the panels would go, to keep that in mind. But so as of right now, they're just on standby to receive an application when that's ready. And I'm happy to answer any other questions that you guys have.
All right.
This is Sandy. I did remember my other thing while Jackie was talking. One of the things that advisory committee has been looking at is a variety of other models around the United States that has been running farms similar to the Heritage Farm. And one of our members, Gary Garth's relative, works at one, and I believe it's in Michigan. Anyway, we've been looking at that one closely because it's about the same size as the Heritage Farm, and it has some of the similar functions that ours has. And so we've been kind of exploring that, and we've talked to one of the people that runs that farm. So we've been kind of looking at some of the things that they do at that farm and looking at that as a model to maybe look at what we can do at the Heritage Farm that might be revenue enhancing, supporting agriculture in the community, agribusiness and things like that. So nothing to report particularly other than we've just been kind of looking at other farms and what they've been doing so we can come up with some ideas for things that could happen or occur at the Heritage Farm.
If anyone wanted to Google that, look that up, it's the Tollgate Farm at Michigan State University, and they play a significant, they have a very strong and positive collaboration between Tollgate and the university. It's very a good combination function. And I know Joe's taken a good look at it a couple times to see how it's operated. And there's just a lot of features in there from a model point of view that we are taking a real hard look at.
All right, thank you. I have one question, Sandy, and I know it's been a very atypical year in terms of things going on the farm with the pandemic, you know, raging for most of the year. Is there anything in the works to try and gather what data there may be for this year like we have in past years? Really trying to get at that value-added question that you know, we want to articulate as well as we can.
Right. It is the end of the year, so I'll be getting ready to send out the notice and the list of questions that I'd like the programs and projects to answer. Because we've done this in the past and I've kind of given them a heads up, I think some of them are keeping better track of things. So the answer is yes. I'm hoping to get something going out to them and then back to us again right after the first of the year. Because even though it has been a pandemic year, I think there's been a fair bit of activity going on out there. So I'll get what I can. The answer is yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. I mean, that's always very important information so that,
yes,
that people realize, you know, the benefit of the farm is not just necessarily a funding issue.
Right.
All right. Joe, since you're here, you want to talk about what's going on? I know this time of year you do a lot of cleanup, maintenance, etc., and you winterize the place at this point, the irrigation system.
Yep. Well, that's kind of it in a nutshell, Pat. a couple weeks back, and I apologize, it's I'll tell you what's been going on. A couple weeks back, I did have to winterize the irrigation system, both the big irrigation system as well as the irrigation system for the community gardens. And, you know, it really came as a surprise to nobody. I mean, we had, you know, weather down in the high 20s. And so, you know, it was time. And so, you know, nobody complained too much. That was great. Now, what happened right after that? That was the fun part. I had a close one-on-one encounter with a person that tested positive the very next day for coronavirus. Now, I never got it. I can tell you right now, I never you know, had any symptoms. The strange part. I'm sorry. I'm veering off course here a little bit, but I'll tell you guys the strange part. We actually contacted my doctor's office, and he told us He says if you don't have symptoms, don't worry about getting tested. I'm still trying to figure out what that was about, but I never got it. Just so you guys know, I'm in the clear. But so the problem was that I had to spend 2 weeks working from home. And of course, right now, all the work that I need to be doing is kind of in the shop and whatnot. So I got a bunch of training done and, you know, did some work on the business proposal for, you know, the Tollgate Farm, you know, what Kirk just mentioned about Tollgate Farms and whatnot. And that's kind of it. And now, as Pat mentioned earlier, I'm actually on vacation, so I'll send you guys my bill later on. So you know, when I come back next Monday, it's back to it. Pretty much the only thing I've got going on right now is it's all about washing things up, oiling, greasing, and putting them away for the winter so that they don't sit out in the rain all winter. That's kind of it in a nutshell. I did have, just for those that care to know, I want to take a moment and tell everybody, as 2020 comes to a close, I cannot say thank you enough to everybody for the understanding of what it was like to not have the corrections crew that I've always had in the past. You know, I did the best I could to keep the grass from going over knee high. I did talk to my corrections crew, you know, person here, a week and a half ago now. And he said they're thinking maybe in like March, you know, March of next year at the earliest. So we're not out of the woods yet. But again, I just want to tell you, everybody, thank you for working with me. I know there was a lot of those. You know, labor intensive tasks that would have gotten done with the corrections crew that just never happened this year. So that's kind of the nutshell, guys.
Joe, you know, when do you think would be the optimal time to start talking with farm users about, you know, planting plans and things of that sort? Because I know that's another area that you know, this time of year, you spend some time coordinating with folks.
Right. Anytime from now, you know, I'd say if you aren't, you know, if you don't have a pretty solid plan by, mid-March, you're probably behind. So I'd say anytime between now and mid-March is definitely the time to be getting your plans done. And of course, when I say mid-March, it's like, if you haven't started yet, you're in real trouble, you know? So I'd say, you know, by February, you should have some serious plans on paper, you know? But I think most of our users know that already, so.
Joe and Patrick, speaking for the food bait fields, we're working on that already, planning what we're going to be doing next year. We had a huge year this year, even considering the restrictions of volunteers and everything else we had to deal with. But we are looking at next year and what we can do and do better, easier.
No, I knew that you guys were already planning. That's wonderful. Nancy, if you don't mind me asking, I heard something about there was a meeting that was supposed to happen this week. Something about that the churches in partnership were going to come and get together in Greenhouse 10. Were you part of that meeting too?
I wasn't in the meeting. Larry had a meeting with Henry and the other Food Bank AmeriCorps people.
Yeah.
I opened up the head house so that they could be in there and deal with it. But I don't know what was going on.
Okay. Yeah. All I know is I got a text about we're having a planning meeting at the farm. That's all I heard. So.
Yeah. Okay. I've been working with Brian Logan also on seeds and that sort of thing. So we're trying to get ahead of it.
Super.
Okay. Next order of business. Well, maybe I won't go to that. Well, I will go to that. This is our last scheduled meeting for this year. And I know there were several that, you know, we didn't hold this past year. So looking towards next year, frequency, good timing for meetings, things of that sort. What are the thoughts? You know, when you kind of get used to a schedule, it's kind of nice to keep with your same schedule, but I don't know if that works for everybody these days. So I open it up to suggestions and discussion.
This is Sandy, and I guess I just have a comment in that this particular Thursday of the month, the Food System Council meets. And so there's a couple of us that are on that council as well as this one. And so there's an overlap. But if it doesn't bother anybody else and it needs to stay, we can work that out.
Well, I like the frequency that we've been having, like the quarterly. We could change to another Thursday, just another Thursday in that quarterly month. And then there wouldn't be a conflict if that's, you know, it depends on if there's other people that have significant conflicts during this time frame. If we know enough ahead of time, like we usually do, people have a tendency to work around them.
Rob, any thoughts?
Yeah, that works. You know, quarterly, fine. It's not like there's a lot going on right now. Yeah, any Thursday is fine with me.
So Thursday seems to be good. I mean, we could try and move it to like the third Thursday as opposed to the fourth Thursday. I don't know if that would work and help us avoid the conflict with the Food System Council. Again, thoughts?
Yeah, why not try it and schedule it and see what happens?
We're all used to having it on Thursday, so I don't think that's a problem. But I know that Christine Perry's not here tonight because of the council, and Heather's missing it as well as I am. So,
okay, I'm willing to shoot for that. I mean, I could and the time, the 4 to 5:30 time slot, that still work for most people?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so why don't I try and schedule these for the third Thursday of every other month, sort of keep the same frequency, same time, 4 to 5:30, but the third Thursday instead of the fourth Thursday. Sound okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm working.
Okay. So now we get to public comments. Comment came in from Curtis. Curtis was asking, has anyone addressed any reflection issues from the solar panels onto the neighbors' properties from the farm's solar panels? And I am not aware that we have gotten to that point of discussion yet. I assume with the historic designation of the farm, you know, we'll have to go to the Historic Preservation Commission for an appropriateness review. I don't know if reflection would be one of those issues that might be of concern to the historic designation as well. Jackie, do you have any thoughts on that?
What's the proposal again?
Curtis was, I guess he's concerned that if the solar panels were to be placed where Mr. Gulley was suggesting, that there may be some reflection onto the adjacent neighbors. And I said, I'm not sure we have gotten that far in addressing that issue, but I don't know if that would also be an issue of common concern to historic preservation members, given the historic preservation, historic designation of the farm.
The reflection?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, they're going to be looking at like a new kind of structure on a historic site and looking at the impacts that would have on the, you know, the cemetery and the site as a district and as a farm. I don't know if the reflection piece would come under anything in the code that I can think of, but I'll take a look at that.
Okay.
Say, Pat?
Yeah.
Because, of course, everybody knows I'm also a, you know, solar engineer, right? I don't think there is any way on that farm that you could make sunlight reflect onto a house. There's no houses above, you know, that back hill. The sunlight coming up in the east, there's trees to shade it in the morning. When it goes down in the west, if it reflects, it just reflects into the trees, so that's not going to bother anybody. If the sun, you know, in the wintertime, the sun's on the south, you know, the southern, you know, horizon, and it reflects up the hill, there's no houses behind it, you know, to the north. And even in the middle of summer, you're going to have those panels facing, you know, primarily facing the sun at its highest point. And there's no houses below the panels to reflect towards. So I don't think there's, I mean, just common sense tells me that there's no way in heck you can get that thing to reflect at somebody's house.
Well, let me jump in there for a second, because, you know, Curtis, I think that's a good question, only that it should be dealt with. I think Joe's right, too. It's probably not going to end up being an issue, but we do have to address those kinds of questions. And for any of you who have ever traveled over in Eastern Washington or Eastern Oregon, as you come up on some of those big solar farms over there, and they're huge, you see a sign alongside the road that says, be aware of coming reflection. And as you get closer to the solar panels, you can see why they put the sign there. Now, I've never had a reflection from those things, but I think as a process to go through the historic process and the engineering process, you say it's just an issue that has to be dealt with and dispensed with. And there's probably pages of those things. But as Pat said, we're so early in this entire process. It's a year away, at least. And the issues will be pages and pages long before we get down this road too far.
I don't know if it's a complete answer, but I think it's a pretty clear statement of where we are on it, that we've got a long way to go. And I would agree, certainly if it's a concern to the neighbors, it'll be an issue that needs to be addressed as we look further at the proposal. The other comment that I received before the meeting was from Sharon. Sharon, do you want to express verbally where you are? Do you want me to read the comments? What's your preference?
I think I went on and on, so let's just let me say one thing. Rob was at the meeting on the Historic Preservation Commission, and he brought up a concern that it wasn't fitting with the guiding principles. I mean, I know when we were on the sounding board, we discussed self-sufficiency for the farm and, you know, sort of public-private partnerships and even having it be an educational thing, because we had talked about solar and wind. It was interesting, his concern. And then I've talked to a couple of people, and I'm wondering about even solar on the greenhouse. I don't know anything about solar, but that's, I'm just throwing that out there. And I know he's going for a grant for low income. I understand that better after listening to the meeting, you know, and have low income people buy into it. And that might be difficult for that to actually happen in this day and age. But I do think it would be great if it does go through to say, okay, let's get credit from the Clark PUD that it pays. I don't know what our electric bill, what the Heritage Farm electric total bill is for WSU Extension and all the users, but that would be really good to know. That's one comment. The other comment, I'm concerned, I saw markers for the wetland restoration, and I'd really like more information because the markers included the community garden, couple plots right near the road. It was closer to the fruit orchard. There's another boundary marker was what the flag said for wetland restoration. And it was right by, it bypassed the compost. So I'm just hoping they're looking at what is already there and they're not gonna like destroy what's already there. I just have a real problem with that. And I really am again asking that when we spray herbicides and pesticides, if it's noted, because the last time when I saw them spraying, they sprayed right by the wheelbarrows before I could move the wheelbarrows, and that's just not good for public use. And it's just a common courtesy, even if it's not legally required, that I do think the community gardeners would appreciate it being noted when spraying is done.
Okay.
I think that's my main.
Yeah, you mentioned you're requesting additional interaction with kind of the Clean Water group that is spearheading that, so you can get a better sense of what's going on. And again, timing is early on that, but we will certainly have them participate in one of these meetings in the future, and one or more of these meetings in the future, and so people can get a good sense of kind of what's going on, what's the schedule, what's the flagging for, etc. It might be just a wetland delineation and wetland buffer delineation at this point where the flagging is. That would be my guess.
But you know, I think it is sort of moving along. What tends to happen, maybe in all of government, but certainly in Clark County, they present it, and it's already a done deal, and then it's a lot harder to. And obviously, that's what happened at the farm when they tried to sell it in 1994 or 2004. So, you know, it's just sooner rather than later would be really good to involve the partners. Because I think, I guess my biggest frustration is we have a master plan, and I think the work that everybody's doing is great, but I really want more community access. I really want the trail. I mean, we could really combine the trail, get started with the trail, like Gene Akers suggested, to have a raised platform trail along that Cougar Creek restoration. And now more than ever, we need access to outdoor activities and outdoor education. And I think the way moving forward is we really do need a trail to be able to get more grants and to really have the public support this farm and not have to always battle, you know, development. That's my biggest fear is if we don't get moving, there's just always that developmental pressure. And how much is the fee for the community garden plot proposal to be? What is it going to be?
$75.
$75. Wow. That's not, I spoke too soon and I thought it would be okay. I think we were saying, some people said they'd be okay with $5, but I did look today. A lot of people may not be there anymore because you're adding 75 onto 35 that we pay to have it rototilled because that the clay is so hard. Even with me amending the soil for 5 years, I still have to have, and doing a cover crop, I still have to have it rototilled, and it's $35 a plot.
Cody, you're on
so
mute.
You're looking at, the city only charges $48 for a 20 by 20 plot. So I know there's year-round access, but probably only 20% of the people actually grow in the winter.
Dodi had a response to that, and she's trying to figure out how to get off of mute so she can respond.
Oh, okay.
Hit your space bar, Jody.
There you go, Jody. Oh, nope, we can't hear you. No. Try now. No.
Oh, great.
Joey, on mine, if I hit my space bar, it takes me off of mute.
I've tried to unmute you also, Jody, and I still can't hear you. Do you want to try the chat box?
Also, Chris, I noticed Christine Perry joined us a little bit late, but she joined our group.
I see Christine. Yeah, I moved her as a panelist, so Christine should be able to unmute herself and speak as well.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if you caught her for attendance.
Thank you, Sandy.
Uh-huh. So your mute button looks like it's off now. Try it.
No. Yeah, that's actually me unmuting her, but it doesn't seem to be helping.
No. So while Jody's trying to get on, can I make a comment?
Sure.
So when we had a Friends of Farm board meeting a week or two ago, one of the things we talked about when thinking about the solar project, the wetlands project, and with respect to all proposed projects, one of the things we talked about is one of the first things that should be asked with respect to any project is to what extent will that project enhance the future sustainability and productivity of the farm? So if you're going to do a wetland restoration thing, let's make sure that one of the things we think about is not how can we maximize the land that we can put back into wetlands, because we can't put all kinds of land back into wetlands, but you can't farm it then. So I think there needs to be somewhere a compromise. And where do you draw the line between what is farmable and what is not? And what is not, then let's put that into wetlands. And then with the solar project, again, there's a project. Someone said they were posing maybe they would use the power from that to go to low income. I have nothing against low income being helped. But on the other hand, I would say the first thing we should think about is, can the power generated from that project be put to offset the cost of running the farm? And I think those are some of the things we should think about. Anytime a project is proposed, is will this project enhance the future productivity and sustainability of the farm? As a farm. That's all. Thanks.
You too.
Okay. What?
Mary and I also had talked about even putting solar panels over the wetlands. I have no idea if that would work, but you know, that's the beauty of where you get collaboration, you know, and ideas. You know, that's why a team is greater than the sum of
its parts. Can you hear me now? Yes. Sorry, Sharon, I didn't mean to cut you off. I have a couple questions. First, can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Okay, my other question is, can people see what I'm putting in the chat box?
Oh.
So there are several, like, yeah, there's several people you can send to the chat box. So I put it to the host and the presenters, and then I tried to all attendees. So I'll just go back and just read to you what I wrote in. First of all, this is a recommendation for the cost to go up. It's about 24% is what we figured out. And not everybody gets their plot tilled, but it is like this really great service that we have. So we could think about maybe The community garden is going to get their own rototiller this year, and we can look at maybe reducing the cost of tilling then if the person doesn't have to rent the rototiller. So that's just some of the things that are on my mind. Thank you.
And this is Rob. I have a comment too. When we were talking about raising the fee, I believe the fee hasn't been raised in 4 or 5 years. It's been a while. Is that right, Jody?
Yeah, that's true. And I've also put into the contract that it would be raised. It's going to go up at some point, but I didn't think that it would go up that much. I thought that was a bit of a bigger stretch than I think we want to do at this time because of where we're at in COVID. But I definitely think that it needs to go up. But I don't know if this year is the right year to do it. So, there's no decision been made on this yet. So I just want us to keep that in mind. Thank you.
Christine, do you have something to add to the conversation about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone hear me?
Yes.
So, one of the things is I'm kind of, being new as the new interim county director, kind of learning about what the different policies and the different kind of ins and outs of what's going on in the farm. And knowing that right now, currently, WSU Extension is the coordinator of the community garden. So any monies that we get from the plots go directly to Jody's part of Jody's income. So Jody is being paid partly by the community garden fees and partly by the extension budget. So that's just as a clarification to know that that's, again, if we're looking at raising money to support the farm, the community gardens isn't necessarily one that's where that the money would go back into. In a way, it's going back into the farm in that it is paying for Jody's time and Jody to be able to coordinate that. But as far as it making kind of a difference in kind of the bigger picture, the longer term, I think that that's something to talk about. I also agree with Jody as far as I'm not opposed to increasing the fee, but is right now the time to increase it to that point? I don't know that. I'd like to be able for us to talk more about that. But, this is kind of a hard time for a lot of our community out there, and wondering if whether or not we want to make a smaller increase at this time, or kind of letting him know that it's more in increments. I'm willing to think about that, but I know that the extension at this point does have enough money. I mean, is it sustainable? No, and it's something for us to look at, but it's not necessarily something that we need to be able to make that increase to be able to make a big difference in kind of as a revenue. It's basically we're breaking even in a way.
So Christine, though, the fees that are paid doesn't cover all of the costs for the community garden at this current time. So someone is supplementing the coordinators time and work in the garden.
That's right. So the community garden fees go partly to pay for Jody's salary, part of her work with the community garden, and pays for a little bit of the maintenance. Like for instance, like we've bought in some of the ground covering and things like that. But you're right. She still needs to be supplemented with another extension budget. So if you're asking whether or not,
Jody.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
What's the question?
My question is just how many hours, average over 12 months, how many hours a week?
I didn't understand. A little louder.
How many hours a week does Jody commit to the community garden?
I'm supposed to commit
over
to
the year.
Sure, I'm supposed to commit to 6 hours a week, but It's a lot of work. Just today I got, I mean, it's just, I'm, you know, it's kind of like, there's, you know, it's just like, it's not necessarily that it's seasonal either. In the summertime, things kind of roll pretty smooth. In the wintertime, you know, it's just keeping up on emails and people who want to need to get into the gate, because we only give gate cards to those people that have handicap accessibility or need handicap accessibility. So it's like, if somebody does need into the gate, that's a phone call. And that's the time I spend either coordinating, having Joe meet them at the gate, or having one of the community gardeners that I can really trust go and let somebody in. There's also like the weekly emails. There's the keeping up on all of the data and changing of addresses and sending out the contracts and managing the payments. It's pretty intense. So, and this year has just been so odd. So we haven't had any community garden work parties, which we normally do. But if you don't mind, I'd like to name some of the successes that we have had. Do we have time for that?
Yeah, we have some time.
Thank you, Pat and Sharon. So some of the really cool things that we've done this year is that the farm board, the Farm Forward Advisory knows, because I'm really good about asking permission before we do things ahead of time. So we got the shed painted. And if it's, anybody's hadn't had the chance to go and take a look at the shed, it's painted. We have a new hawk perch, or we call it a predator perch. It's got an owl box as well as a bat box. So we're going to see how that works, because we have a lot of mole and mice problems. It's a community garden and we're all like in it together. So it's like we always try, we're brainstorming on how to make things better all the time. We also have painted all the tools in the shed to get those ready. William, yeah, he is in plots 25 and 26. He's kind of like our main community garden volunteer, as well as Liz in plot 81 or 82. And she does, she rototills for us, which has been really great to have somebody go, if somebody hasn't worked a plot in a while, to rototill. What are some of the other successes? Let's see. Yeah, this year, the community garden itself is, it looked fabulous compared to years in the past. So I just, you know, I give a kudos to all the gardeners that are, you know, out there on a regular basis. And, you know, we're constantly looking for better ways to improve the garden, but I think that it's been a really successful year. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jody. That really brings us to the end of the agenda. Any more public comments? Well then, I guess we can move on, and I will send out notices, sort of a recurring meeting notice for the third Thursday of every other month. So the next one would be in January. I don't know what specific date that is just yet, but it would be like January 19, something like that, I think. Okay. No further business, then I guess we can adjourn the meeting. All right. So thanks,
January
everyone.
January 20th is the third.
Okay, January 20th.
Is the third Thursday.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Stay safe.
Hi, everybody.